learn from the beast. Amen? You think so? No? Okay. So we're going to learn from the beast today. Okay, and the text that I'm going to use is Ephesians chapter 4. Right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, and from 11 to 13. I will ask the future pastor to come and lead us all, right, to read through this text. Can I ask Pastor Joel? Shall we all stand? We just respect the word of God. And we just ask Joel to read. Please follow him, okay?
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all the true and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned in it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the world measure of the fullness of Christ.
Okay, thank you, Joel. Please be seated. Okay, let's begin. A couple of months ago, I forgot when, I was invited to this meeting by the IPA. Okay? The IPA is not a government agency, but it's called International Partners Associate. Right? And one of the leaders in this IPA is our brother Todd Poulter. And for those of you who know Todd Poulter, he's a very creative person. Right? So one of the things that I learned there is that they believe that the Holy Spirit speaks to the body of Christ. And then, one passage can actually be interpreted in different ways. Right? And they all can be right because the Holy Spirit speaking. Right? So what they did is they gave a set of scriptures, like 10 passages of scriptures. And it's all jumbled up. And they asked us to form a picture of these 10 passages, this set. And amazingly, we had 6 to 7 groups, and they each come out with different pictures. Yeah, but that picture actually gave a message that we believe it is from God. So when I was preparing this sermon, I remembered this exercise. So I took this passage, I break it down into 6 blocks of scriptures. So you can see over here, these are the 6 blocks. And all of us here who read the Bible know that Ephesians 4 is a very, very important passage for the church, because it gives us the insight of how the church must function. It is God's blueprint for us. Therefore, we must take heed. We must pay attention to what it is said here. So over here, Paul is trying to communicate a message for us. And I am a picture person, you know. If you give me a lot of words, I cannot see the details. I have to imagine things in big picture. So I imagine these 6 passages to be a building blocks of a house. What happened? It's jammed. Okay, a house. Okay, this is my house, right? And you can see that this is a colorful house. And has different colors. You know, one side of the wall is purple and green, and the roof is green and is sponsored by Monier. And so I see that these six passages form this house, right? Form this house. Okay. And in this house, the foundation is Jesus Christ, right? That passage that we just read, there are about 10 verses that we have just read. Out of that 10 verses, the name Christ or the Son of God appeared 5 times. Wow, 5 times in 10 verses. That's a lot of times. It is because all this passage that has been expressed is about Jesus. It's about Him. And the church must build its foundation on none other than Jesus. The church is founded by Jesus. And the church builds up in Jesus. And the church exists only for Jesus. It is not for anybody's personal agenda. This church that God is building belongs to Him and Him alone. And in this house, God calls members into this house. You see, this house have an exceptionally big door, right? How many of you have a door that goes all the way up to the roof? Don't have, right? So you have a big door so that more people can come in. That's the desire of God, that all will be saved, right? God wants all to come into His kingdom. And the door represents the entry point into God's household. You know, church, it is very privileged to become God's people. You think about it, the world has a population of 7 billion people. And we are called out of that 7 billion people to become the children of God. Isn't that a privilege? You know that I was reading about this Angelina Jolie, okay? How many of you know Angelina Jolie? Don't lie. Okay? Okay, it's okay. You still go to heaven if you know Angelina Jolie. You must know Jesus. Angelina Jolie, she adopted a child from Cambodia, okay, by the name of Maddox. Okay, not Mad Dog, Maddox. She adopted that child from Cambodia when he was very young. And bring this boy to live with her. And today this boy is flying in a private jet together with him, with her. And used to live together with Brad Pitt. How many of you have met Brad Pitt before? Right? But Maddox, you know, was brought out from that life of destitute in Cambodia to become a child of Angelina Jolie. And church, we are even better. We are brought out from the kingdom of darkness where there is no hope, there is eternal condemnation, into the kingdom of God to become the children of God. Although we are not flying in private jet today, but we will be flying in heaven, I think. It is so much greater to be the children of God. Therefore, Paul says we must live a life that is worthy of our calling. We must live in the same measure as what God has given us. And we should not waste our life. So the next building block, okay, once you come to this house, right, this house has a wall, right? The next building block is the wall. And it says here, Paul says, be completely humble, gentle, and be patient, bearing with one another in love. This represents the house rule. Every house has its rules. Even God's house has its rules. And there is a code of conduct that Paul says that must be observed, must the members of the house must subscribe to. And this is the behavior, the attitude of humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearance. Why is this important? Because these attitudes, this behavior will create a nurturing environment. It will create a condition in the church that will able to help relationships to thrive and grow. If you have pride, if you have strife, if you have unforgiveness, if you have hatred, if you have jealousy, if you keep stabbing one another, it creates a hostile environment where relationships cannot grow. And people who come into this house, they will feel very sad. But God wants a house that is different. And therefore, its members who are called into this house must subscribe to a certain code of conduct. And the next building block represents more about the atmosphere and the condition of God's household. Peace. There is a word there that says the bond of peace. Maintain unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Because a key condition for a church to be built up, for a church to grow, is a peaceful environment. Where there is no strife, there is no stabbing of one another. You know, Jesus was casting out demons. And then this group of Pharisees were saying to him that, saying to each other that he was casting out the demons through Beelzebub. And what was Jesus' response? If the kingdom of the enemy is fighting against each other, they're not going to stand. If the church is going to attack one another, then we will not be able to stand. We will be weak. One of the ways we can help is to train our guns on the enemy, not on each other. So these two building blocks, okay, jam again. These two building blocks form a pillar, okay, form a pillar. Can you help me? You can drink water, okay? I want to drink water. In the name of Jesus. Not working. Do not use the name of God in vain. So this pillar, okay, on the left side, right, is about the condition of the house that God builds, the environment, the atmosphere. It's a nurturing and united, peaceful kind of environment that will enable relationships to grow. It will enable the people of God to be strengthened and to grow. And on the other side of the wall, okay, you need to see this, yeah? Otherwise, you will not be able to follow. On the other side, this side of the wall is about resources that God has given to the church. And God did not just give resources, but God appoints different person in the church to have a different role. Not all of us are potatoes. Some of us are tomatoes. So that we can cook a nice soup together. And God is the cook. That's why we have different people in the church. We are made differently. And what happened to the slides, la? And it says in Ephesians 4, it says, to each one of us, grace had been given as Christ apportioned it. Okay, this grace referred to gifts. Nobody in the body of Christ is so poor that they do not receive any gift from God. Everybody here has received a gift or more from God. It has nothing to do with you, but God gave him. Gave it to you by His grace. It is not for you to keep this gift, but to exercise this gift in the church, in the body of Christ, so that when you exercise this gift, the body will benefit from it. The body will grow up. And this is the reason that God give gifts to the church. Do not say that I have nothing to offer. Everybody here in this church is gifted. And the last building block, it says Christ gave some to be apostles, some, not one, but some, means there are more than one apostles in the body of Christ. Some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. As you can see here, that they all have a different role. And these so-called functional gifts, some people choose to talk to refer this to the fivefold office, but I choose to use the functional gifts that Christ gave to the church. And when these functional gifts are working together, the church will grow. The church cannot just have the pastor and sideline the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the teachers. Most churches, I would say, overly focus on the pastors and the teachers. But when it comes to the apostles, the prophets, and the evangelists, they do not know how to handle them. But the Bible tells us that for a church to grow together, we must have all these five functions working together. And you know that the four of us, right? Raymond, myself, Chun, and Jeremy, we are very different. You realize that? We are different, right? Not just the looks, right? But we have different giftings. Can you tell who has what gifting? Cannot, huh? Okay, never mind. Talk about that another day. Don't have time. What time already? Okay. So when all these four building blocks fire together, that is when the body of Christ will build up. That is when the body will become healthy. You know, a healthy body grows, right? A sick body cannot grow. So you need all these four quad core processors to work before the body can grow up. And when they grow up, what are the signs of the body growing up? The signs are that you will produce mature believers. People will become mature, and there will be unity. And one of the things that really floated up when I read this scripture was about unity. I didn't see Ephesians 4 saying that unity is actually a goal. Unity, it says in the earlier passage that we have to maintain unity. And over here, it's talking about attaining unity. Unity is to be maintained and to be attained. And it is a goal that Paul says that the church, when all the things are functioning, it will reach maturity and unity. And on the other hand, the opposite is that the sign of immaturity will result in factions. The church that has factions, the likelihood, the cause is immature believers in that body. And today, we want to look at nature to teach us about unity and community. Do you know, church, we can learn from nature. There are plenty of examples in the Bible. This person in the Bible says, look at the birds of the air. Do you know who he is? Who said that? Jesus. Jesus himself asked us to look at the birds in the air. Learn something from the birds. There are things that we can learn even from animals. And another person in the Bible says, go to an end, you sluggard. Who is this? Solomon. Yeah, Solomon asked us to go to the end and see what we can learn from there. And church, we can also learn from bees. Right? By the way, bees also appear in the Bible. Yeah? The bees appear 6 times in the Bible. Okay, don't have time to go into that. The reason I chose this is because of my involvement in MahaWorks. It is, the experience is so enriching, church, that I learned so much about this little creature. It is so amazing that I conclude that there is a striking similarities between the church and the bees. How they function in their hive. The beehive, the colony, is like a church also. And I want to share with you 5-6 amazing facts about bees. Right? Some of you may not have this understanding. Do you know that there is actually no clear leader in a beehive? There is no CEO. But bees are able to master an ambush against God's enemy. This is Joshua 7:18. God sent the beasts, the hornets, also beasts, yeah. God sent the beasts ahead of the Israelites to destroy the enemy. Now, how do beasts obey God? It is strange, isn't it? That this little creature can organize an ambush. You don't need a nuclear weapon. God has so many weapons that He can use left, right, center to attack the enemy. Have you ever had God send beasts to help you when you are in trouble? God can, church, because He had done it before. What an amazing creature can organize an ambush. And another amazing fact about bees is that I believe bees didn't go to engineering school. You believe so? But they were able to build the hive with such great precision and with such material efficiency and strength that even engineers are amazed. You know that bees use pollen and nectar to make the hives. And the bees make the hives so that it is at its minimal weight and using the least possible materials to build that hive. And its hexagonal shape gives the hive the maximum strength to withstand whatever wind condition. And you know my friend Lee Chi Hai. How many of you know Nehemiah Lee? Nehemiah, he's a Christian, well-known Christian that builds bridges, built walls. Right? He copied his design from the beehive. If you go to You guys may not pay attention. If you go to the flyover, the bridges and all that, you will see hexagon blocks stacking up to build that road. Okay, that is built by Nehemiah Lee. Right? And he copied from the beast. Yeah. Another amazing fact about bees is that they work extremely hard to sustain and to multiply their colony. And bees, one colony of bees, can make up to 45 kilograms of honey per year. Honey is the food that bees eat, right? The whole colony eat that food. So when you buy honey, you are taking food from bees. You know, for the bees to produce 45 kg of honey, how far do they have to travel? They have to travel 5.5 million miles. None of us here have traveled 5.5 miles, billion miles before. I can safely say that. That is 220 times the distance around the globe. Around the globe 220 times. And that is like 23 times the distance from Earth to the moon. And the bees need to gather nectar from more than 2 billion flowers to make 45 kg of honey. That is so much. And bees are amazing. That they will ensure that the people who stay in the hive get fed so that they are sustained and so that they can reproduce, they can multiply another colony. They are selfless creature. And another amazing fact about bees is that the bees are able to live at peace with each other. There are 50 on the average, 50,000 to 60,000 bees in one colony. That's three times bigger than City Harvest Church. And they have no problems. Can't we learn from bees? Even two persons live under the roof can quarrel every day. Bees have great understanding of each other. Isn't it amazing, God's creation? And bees have different roles. Like the church, the bees have different roles, but they can work together to achieve a common goal. It's like the church, isn't it? Have different gifts, different roles. God asks us to work together to achieve a common goal. But the bees showed us how they do it. I think this is a common knowledge that you know that in the beehive you have the queen bee. And then you have the drone and you have the worker bee. Right? Just three kinds of bees. And they have different role. Okay? The queen just lay eggs. Actually, the queen is quite helpless. Cannot do anything. Cannot even feed herself. Very helpless. Just lay eggs. And then the drone, okay? The male drone, just to mate the queen. Do nothing. Just eat. And just mate. Right, and then you have the worker bees. Right, the worker bees are the ones that have multiple roles. The worker bees build the honeycomb. Right, you put a frame there. The honeybee will start to build the comb, and then the worker bees will feed the queen. The worker bees will also babysit the young bees. And then when the queen is hot. Okay, the temperature of the hive is hot. The bees will flap its wings to maintain air circulation in that. Somehow got aircon inside the hive, yeah. So the bees will ensure everybody is comfortable. Talking about environment, a comfortable environment for growth. The bees know how to do it. We must be better than the bees, church. The bees fan the hive so that the air circulates to keep the temperature cool. And the bees are also foragers, the worker bees. They go out and they look for flowers. They pollinate the environment and bring back the nectar and the pollen to the hive to feed the rest. And then one of the roles of the bees is that they also guard. Do you know that there are 50 to 60,000 bees in one colony? And they know if another bee from another colony comes, they won't let him in. It's amazing, isn't it? To be able to identify which bee is which, whether you belong to my colony or not. But bees are able to detect that. And the worker bees never complain. They never say, oh, I go travel so far, you know. And then you all just sitting here and just eat. Have we made that complaint before? But the worker bees never complain. It's so lovely. They work together for the common good. And lastly, bees put the colony's interests above their own, their personal interests. Bees do not have personal agenda. They put the colony's interests above theirs. You look at the two bees there, right? This one, very fierce bee. I look at the face also, I'm scared. Very fierce. And they work in pairs. And these are the guard bees, you know. They are the guard bees. They stand outside the door of the house to see if there is any intruder. Right? And many times, by protecting the colony, the guard bees sacrifice their own life. You know, when the bees sting, the abdomen, half of the abdomen will stick and they will die. Bees are ready to die for their colony in the line of duty. The Bible talks about who can die for their fellow brothers. Bees are truly amazing creatures. And this is just at the tip of the iceberg. There's so much more that I can share and I talk to you about bees. But I want you to take away just four key points. Today we are learning about community and unity. And I know that you may not be able to remember everything that I have shared, but just four things try to remember. Number one, church. We can achieve much more and we can do much better together than individually. Don't just think of ourselves. Think community. Do you know that acronym TEAM, TEAM, stands for Together Each Achieve More. Together everyone achieves more. We can achieve much more together. It's because God designed us to be like that. There's another saying that says, if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. Solomon gave us his wisdom. He said, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There is strength in unity. There is strength in community. This is God's design for us. Secondly, about community. Sometimes people say the church is like a football game. 22 players run in the field and 20,000 watch from the stand. The church is not a football game. According to Ephesians 4, it says that we all have a role to play. Each of us are given gifts and talents by God. By the way, church, this is not to scare you. One day you're going to face God and you will be answerable for this. God will ask us, how have we served Him? It's not to scare you. The more you have, the more you'll be called to accountable for, to be accountable for. Ephesians 4:16 says, from Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As every one of us begin to get our hands dirty and serve, the church will grow. About unity. Paul said very clearly that in order to achieve unity, this kind of behavior, this kind of code of conduct needs to be practiced in the body of Christ. He says, be humble. It is not easy, but be humble. Because pride destroys and humility builds up. Let's quote this from Rick Warren. You know, humility has amazing power to put weapons down, to tear down the walls of hostility. When we are humble, the body is able to gel together in such an environment. And lastly, about unity. I want us to do this exercise as a closing. I want you to look around you and look for three things that are red and three things that are blue in this around this place. Can you do that right now? Look for three things that are red, three things that are blue. Can you identify three reds and three blues? Don't have three blues. Do we have? Yes. Bob says have. There are three things that are red and three things that are blue. Okay? So, think of these six things that you have pictured in your mind. Okay? Think of it. Okay, right now you close your eyes. Close your eyes. Can you see and identify six things that are, three things that are yellow and three things that are purple? Can you? Cannot. We've done this exercise with over 100 people and all the 100 people say they cannot. You know what is the problem? The problem is focus. Because I have asked you to focus on a certain thing. Church, very often we train our minds to see certain things a certain way. That is not bad. But sometimes in doing that, we miss out some other things. Church, we can live better with others if we choose to see the good in people rather than their flaws. The Apostle Paul gave us the wisdom. He said, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think of such things. And we relate to one another, choose to see the good in people. And we will begin to change. Our hearts will begin to warm up with the person. Let us pray. Lord, help us to be one. Thank you for putting us here in Ferris Park Baptist Church for this time and season. Lord, we know that you have given us gifts and each one has a role to play. Lord, if we have not discovered or we do not know, I pray that you will make it clear to us that we will be able to understand, we will be able to know and identify the gifts that you have given us, that we can use it to serve one another and to serve you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time, for your word. I pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will take whatever that is sown into the hearts and cause it to grow into action. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for coming. I just want to end the service here. And so see you again next Sunday.